Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Tottenham's story is this. It's time to change the situation if Tottenham wants to change.
I love to win, mate. That's the main thing. Hopefully I can fulfil those dreams and aspirations of every Tottenham supporter.
And still Ricky Villa. What a fantastic run. He scored.
He's going to have a crack. He is, you know. Oh, I think.
It's a record.
Here's Lucas Moura.
Oh, they done it.
I'm loving big engines instead. Guess I'm a Spurs fan now then.
Hello everybody, welcome to the Tottenham Way podcast. I'm Dan Kilpatrick. I am joined by Tom Barkley and a very special guest on the other side of the host microphone. It's Marcus, who's back, but not going to be presenting the show today because, Marcus, really, you were in Bilbao as a supporter. Tom Allnut, Tom Barkley and I were all there in the press box as reporters, so we wanted to kind of flip things around for this episode and get your take on an historic night for Spurs. Surely one of the best in your lifetime of supporting the club. I mean, has the dust settled yet? Has it sunk in that Spurs are Europa League winners?
Well, I am busy reminding everybody with every little chance I have. I must explain that I'm whispering a little because I'm in a press room at Roland Garros in Paris, doing the French Open. But honestly, Dan, that week was incredible. And it was all the sweeter because of the horrors of, horrors, that's too strong a word, but my memories of Madrid in 2019. And, you know, I had to sit in the Liverpool end that night. I enjoyed the first 36 seconds and the rest of it was awful. At least it was quite easy to get back home afterwards. This time around, okay, just to quickly, so I was so lucky that I got a cheap flight to Biarritz through a colleague, Stuart Fraser, who works for the Times, who's this mad Rangers fan, who, when Rangers got to the quarterfinals of the Europa League, booked his £60 flight and, surprise, surprise, didn't need it after the quarterfinals and kindly offered it to me. So I went via Biarritz. I was able to meet my brother and sister-in-law there. The trip by coach was only a couple of hours to Bilbao. The whole experience in Bilbao, to me, was so positive. I mean, queuing for 45 minutes in the fan zone for a couple of warm beers wasn't great, but the atmosphere was amazing. The locals were so friendly. The organization, I did worry about getting into the ground. You hear some horror stories at times. It couldn't have been better. I had an amazing seat that I was very lucky to get hold of. I could almost touch Ruben Amorim. I felt like I was close enough to tell Ange what to do. And weirdly, when I was screaming, "Get Son on now," I mean, it wasn't a difficult thing to say, but 14 seconds later, Son warmed up and came on. So I was screaming at Ange, stopping them from making these silly mistakes that could get in the way. And so I felt part of it all. And yeah, it was amazing. It was an incredible night. It made up for 2019. I'm so proud to be a Spurs fan. The celebrations were extraordinary. The parade a couple of days later, magnificent. The fact that Arsenal fans have got so upset about it all has been even better as well.
Marcus, when we did our post Final Triumph podcast with Tom, we talked about the tension or potentially lack of it in the game. And I was saying, as a neutral, albeit one invested in the Tottenham story, I just felt like Man United were there for the taking. And yes, they had chances, but I was pretty confident as the sort of minutes and seconds ticked down that Tottenham would get over the line. Tom Allnut was kind of saying the opposite with his fan hat on, just having seen so many near misses and disappointments over the years. What was it like for you?
You know, I've been supporting Tottenham for too long to ever be sitting calmly and comfortably, Tom. And I still feared the worst. And there were two or three, you know, very dodgy moments late on, weren't there? That fantastic clearance from Van de Ven off the line. There was another one that went into the side netting. And from where I was sitting, just for a moment, I thought United had scored. But the interesting thing was, where I was sitting, it was a great view. It was, quote, a neutral area. So there were quite a lot of Manchester United fans. and a lot of very vocal Spurs fans as well. The United fans were so negative. And it was funny, really, because I'm quite used to sitting amongst Tottenham fans and going, God, we're bad, this, that, and the other. And they were slagging off their team. That gave me the confidence, actually, that, you know, these guys are even more fragile than us. I still was not going to take anything for granted. What it did actually remind me of, I'm old enough to remember the 1982 League Cup final against Liverpool at Wembley. Spurs, by the way, had never lost at Wembley up until that day. We scored quite early on through my hero, Steve Archibald. He had a great chance to make it 2-0. And then as the game headed towards full time, Liverpool were on top of us. The seconds were counting down. I remember the fans, they're going, oh, 4 minutes to go, 3 minutes to go, 2 minutes to go. And Liverpool then equalised and killed us in extra time. And I had that in the back of my mind. I still thought, oh, you know, you can't be sure of anything. And when that final whistle blew, just for about a minute or so, I was actually bereft of emotion. I didn't cheer. I just kind of stared, tried to let it all sink in and realize that we had won the Europa League. We'd won our first piece of European silverware for 41 years, our first trophy since 2008. And it did take 60 to 90 seconds just to stare into the space and realize we'd done it. And then I wiped a couple of tears away from my eyes. I hugged some bloke I've never met before and I'm sure I'll never see again, and then got into the party mode. And very luckily, through my nephew, who has connections with UEFA, he then got me up into the VIP lounge afterwards. And I spent a very pleasant hour chatting with Mickey van der Ven's mother, with Pedro Porro's brother. There were various other, I'm not sure actually if it was Pedro Porro's brother, but he was insisting. It didn't look anything like Pedro Porro, but it was great. And there were some drinks going. It was the perfect end to an amazing night. But to go back to your original point, Dan, a week on, it hasn't really sunk in. And the fact that we've got Champions League next season as well, it's so sweet. It's that, mate, we talked about that deep midwinter malaise that we suffered. And here we are in the spring on top of the world. Isn't football, isn't sport an amazing thing?
I mean, the big question, Marcus, and I think it's fair to say that you have consistently been a major skeptic of Postecoglou. And for as far back as I think the turn of the year, or maybe even before, you know, you had strong doubts. I think long before a lot of people's doubts started to set in. I mean, for me, I've said, you know, it was almost not until the Alkmaar home game, that really limp performance, that I started to really worry about Postecoglou, because I just thought, you know, we can't judge him. It's the injury crisis. It's, you know, the circumstances. It's this, it's that. But you were saying that it must be better. So, I mean, the question is, you know, where are you now? I mean, does this triumph change everything in your mind? Because I think a lot of, you know, Ange skeptics, I guess, people that have felt, you know, this, you know, that the club has to make a change, you know, will now be second guessing themselves and questioning that. And I think, you know, this is the big question for the club now. It's the big dilemma. Where are you kind of falling down on it? Just, you know, should he stay? Should he go?
Well, obviously, Dan, everybody was affected by what happened in Bilbao, and inevitably everybody's heart rules their head, certainly for the first 24 to 48 hours after that. And of course, I don't want to consider myself a cruel, horrible man who wishes to destroy the manager that's brought us our first piece of silverware since 2008. But I'll be absolutely honest with you, my mind has not changed in any way whatsoever. My doubts actually began right at the end of last season, when we played Manchester City, the game, of course, where Ange couldn't quite get his head around the fact that Spurs fans wanted to lose to make sure that Arsenal didn't win the league. And I remember us talking then and saying, well, if Spurs start next season well, it won't be an issue. But if things start to go wrong, I think there'll be memories of that, and there could be implications. And certainly by Christmas time, I was really concerned by the way we were playing, by the, you know, the fact that the injuries, okay, to a degree were unfortunate, but to what extent were they brought about by the tactics and by the training routines, et cetera, et cetera. So I have to say, for the last 3 months or so, I have been adamant that Ange should go, and I haven't changed my mind. I think now would be the perfect time for him to walk away with his head held high, with a nice bonus for winning a European trophy, and he'll walk into another very good job. I think for Spurs, now going back into the Champions League, there's money to be spent. Lots of money, of course, has to be spent. And this is where Daniel Levy comes into it. But if we're going to be competitive and compete on more than one level, by the way, which is not acceptable this season. We put everything into the Europa League basket. Really? Well, if that's the case, you got very, very lucky. And you can't be doing that, a club of Tottenham Hotspur's status. You've got to be competing on much more than just one front. I also look, and I know you can only beat the teams that are put in front of you, but Eintracht Frankfurt, half decent. Bertha Glimt should beat them. Manchester United in the final, a final in which I think Spurs had the least amount of possession and the least chances of any team in any major European final. So for all these reasons, I think now is the time for Ange to go and for the club to find the best possible alternative in the summer rather than maybe in November if the season starts badly. And we see, as with Manchester United last year, that you have to change your manager then.
I'll just say, apologies to the listeners, it does sound like Marcus is sitting next to the squeakiest door at Roland Garros. It sounds a bit like the managerial revolving door at Tottenham at times there, but which you seem to want to push Ange out through, it seems. I mean, have you not been swayed at all by the theatre and the romance of the last few weeks, Marcus? Particularly that speech at the parade. You weren't at the parade, perhaps, because you were on the way to, or getting stuck in Paris on the way going back to Paris. Perhaps if you'd been there, you would have been G'd up by his rhetoric. But it's not working for you?
No, listen, he's a great orator. I've been really impressed by the way he has delivered those messages. And it was a terrific line about, you know, the third season being the best, although he did then backtrack and obviously say, you know, sometimes the main character is got rid of at that stage. I'm afraid the door's going to make another silly squeaking sound in a moment. But I'm afraid not, Tom. He's done his bit, but for me, I'm absolutely adamant. I want to see somebody else. And everyone goes, well, who then? And that's a very good question, because the obvious candidates, the three names that were being bandied about this season, Thomas Frank, maybe would definitely be interested. Glasner done a fantastic job at Crystal Palace. I actually think it would be a really good time for him to leave Palace, because having got them into Europe now, he's got to suddenly juggle Premier League and European football, and that might not be easy. So maybe it would be a great time for him to walk away from South East London to North London. I don't know. And there's talk of Simone Inzaghi. You guys know a bit more about that, but I read reports that nothing has been decided as yet at Tottenham, because the hierarchy are waiting for the Champions League final, and that if Inter lose to PSG, Inzaghi might leave, and that the likes of Levy and Paratici are big fans of the Italian. So I haven't got a ready-made replacement for you, but I do feel that Spurs need to move in another direction now.
Yeah, I guess a lot of those names we mentioned, I mean, Simone Inzaghi is a sort of new one. Obviously, the Paratici link is understandable with an Italian and one who's doing so well as that. The last time I spoke to quite a lot of counterparts in the Italian press, they seem to be under the impression that he would be staying no matter what at Inter Milan next season. And you could make the case that if he loses, he might be even more likely to stay because he wants to go and finish the job, I suppose. But I don't know. I mean, obviously, if Postecoglou were to leave, then I guess maybe he might be the stellar name that might make it a bit more acceptable among the Spurs fan base. But look, again, like I said, I had heard that he was more likely to stay. So we'll see if that plays out. Oliver Glasner has literally, as of yesterday, I think, said that he's 99% likely to stay at Crystal Palace. He said, never say anything 100%, but 99% likely to happen. And off the back of his chairman, Steve Parish, saying he was definitely staying next season. So it'd be a real stark turnaround for that one to happen. Although I remember Vincent Kompany at Spurs last season when he got relegated to Burnley talking about, you know, this is the first day of the mission to get back promoted again. And he was very quickly off to Bayern Munich. So I guess anything can happen, but it seems less likely. But you know, at the moment, I think we're just all waiting. And that is the case for Ange himself, who's on holiday waiting to find out what's going to happen. It feels like there won't be any update this week because pretty much everyone's on holiday. And then I imagine if they do stick with Postecoglou, which I personally hope they do, because I believe he deserves the chance to have another go. I imagine it won't even be sort of announced because, look, he's got to He's got a contract. I believe it's 3 years that he signed with a year option. So at least another year to go. Why would they announce it? But obviously that doesn't exactly tell the whole story of what the Australian's been going through in the last couple of weeks.
But Tom, can I just come back to you on the fact that you think he now deserves it? And yeah, of course, winning a European trophy is not easy. Otherwise, as Ange himself said, everyone would do it every year. But are we saying that if Spurs had lost to Manchester United over 90 minutes, then he should have gone? Are we basing it all on 190 minutes where, you know, Spurs did a good job, but they haven't been playing the Ange ball way at all in the latter rounds of Europe? And one of the reasons he was brought to the club was because, as Daniel Levy himself said, we've got our Tottenham back now. Nothing like that over the last few weeks. There's so much inconsistency for me in that regard.
Well, the other way I would argue it is he's done what you've been calling him to do, for him to do for ages, to adapt, to change. And yes, it was a Jose Mourinho masterclass in the way he went about it. We talked at length about the amazing stats from the Ange wall versus the Ange ball in the final, 27% possession, the most regular pass between two players being Vicario to Solanke. I mean, it is incredible and an incredible turnaround, especially from a manager who constantly told us about how important it was to stick to your principles when people were constantly asking him, particularly last season, to adapt. But whichever way you see it, he has changed, and it's proven to work, at least in Europe. Whether it would work in the Premier League is a different different question. And I think, you know, performances like Anfield away in the second leg of the Carabao Cup, in which he tried to play more defensive and got sort of blown apart, albeit obviously Liverpool away is a very difficult game for any team, means that there would be a lot to still be convinced that it could work. But I would actually see the argument you just gave as more of a reason to show he can adapt and deserves to go again. But fundamentally, I see it more as he's if you were on the fence about him or if you had doubts about him, I feel like he's got the credit in the bank now to at least be given the opportunity.
I mean, what I'd like to ask Dan, well, both of you actually, if, you know, first of all, if Ange is to stay, I guess behind the scenes, we don't know for sure what the majority of the players think with regards to him. There appeared to be a lot of team spirit near the end. He's made the point, obviously, that Spurs have got to keep Christian Romero now. We've got to get some more experienced players in. I mean, Dan, and I remember saying this a while back, I always thought there was something going on between Maddison and Ange, and yet the players do seem to have got behind him. I don't know if that is a fact in itself, but what I do want more than anything else is for Levy to make a decision sooner rather than later. I think it's a bit strange if this now lurches on for 2 or 3 weeks and the transfer window opens up and we need to start looking at players we want to bring in. So, I mean, I don't know what your hunch is as to what's going to happen and as to whether you do think Postecoglou has the full backing of the playing staff.
You really seamlessly transitioned back into hosting mode there, Marcus. Very impressive. I mean, I guess we did touch on this on the last pod, but, you know, I think myself and one of the Toms, I think Allnut said, you know, the worst thing the club can do now really is a sort of halfway house, a half measures approach to this. You know, I think we don't know what's going to happen with Postecoglou as we sit here. There's a very good chance, I think, that Levy doesn't know and the club doesn't know what's going to happen. They still haven't made their minds up. But they've got to either sack him or back him, right? You know, it can't be a kind of approach where, okay, we're going to keep Postecoglou because most of the fans are on side and most of the dressing room's on side and we don't want to wreck that unity, but we're not convinced by him. And as Postecoglou himself said afterwards in his post-match press conference in Bilbao, you know, there were people at the club who don't have, who didn't have, you know, full faith and trust in him when he said he's going to go all out for the Europa League in January. That's the way he framed it. So, you know, that situation, I guess, can't really continue whereby, you know, that he's the manager, but the club isn't fully behind him. So I think that kind of sort of half measures approach is almost guarantees you kind of failure. It just means, you know, that he's not going to be properly back to build on the squad in the summer. You know, we know the squad needs work to compete in the Champions League next season. And, you know, everyone won't be pulling in the same direction, which is always, a, you know, again, a kind of recipe for things to fall apart pretty quickly. So, you know, I do think that the club has probably got to get a move on, really, because I think Spurs have been in a state of limbo, you know, for a long time. They haven't known whether they're going to have no European football next season or the Champions League. You know, it's been a binary kind of choice between, not choice, but, you know, it's been one or the other, nothing or kind of everything. So they've probably been, slower to get their ducks in a row regarding the transfer window than they normally would. And now we've got uncertainty over the manager as well. So, you know, they're in danger of having to play a lot of catch-up unless, I think, they act quickly and sort of decide, look, Ange's staying and we're getting behind him in this way, or Ange's going and we're going to get behind his successor in this way. And I think, you know, time is ticking, as you said, and that is kind of the call now for the club.
It is. And one thing I will say here, and it's not me backpedaling, but yes, the most important thing is to make a decision and get on with it and make sure that the squad is strong enough to deal with the challenge of the Champions League, while also hoping that we, you know, go a long way in both domestic competitions and at least don't embarrass ourselves in the Premier League as we had this season. And I'm sorry, but 22 defeats in a season is just not acceptable. It really isn't. So I hope they get things done. Sorry, there goes that door again. And we move forward. But I don't want to sound like this curmudgeonly person who's been begging the club to win some silverware for years. And then when they do, you turn around and sack the manager. It's just not as simple as that, though. There's, to me, that the league form has been so desperate that a sort of wonderful but unconvincing European campaign just does not cover all those evils. And, you know, I'm afraid I'll say that until the cows come home.
Yeah, I mean, to my point about kind of backing Postecoglou, I did think it was interesting that in his, what could be his final press conference after the Brighton game, his post-match address, he did call for the club to kind of buy more experience. And I know Tom B mentioned that he mentioned that before the game as well. And then he also said they need to keep Christian Romero. And he strongly hinted that the club should give Romero a new contract as well. He said they need to tie him down long term or keep him long term. So he's almost kind of laid out a very brief sort of 2-point plan for what he wants to see this summer if he does stay, which is, you know, a pivot in transfer policy away from the young players who have been brought in. And we know kind of Vuskovic is going to join the squad this summer, so there'll be at least one teenager who comes in. But he and said he wanted to see experienced players. Not necessarily in terms of age, but players who are experienced in the Champions League. And he said playing at this level, which I think we can take to mean the highest level. And then obviously the Romero question is a big one. And, you know, I could make a case either way on Romero, but the message it would send now to sell him, I think would just be so off. You know, you've just won a European trophy. Everyone at the club, Postecoglou, Levy, and is talking about building on this and this being a big moment. You don't then go and sell the player who was playing the match in the final and probably the most important character in the run to the trophy. I wondered on your thoughts. I mean, either of you, we don't traditionally, expect Levy to kind of, well, let me rephrase that. It's fair to say in the past, most managers have got frustrated at one point or other with that kind of backing from the club, and they've reached a point where they felt like they can't really do any more. And this feels like a point now where, you know, Spurs have to sort of get behind the manager and you know, follow through with that vision if they want to really build on this.
Well, just on the Romero point, he obviously did a social media post the other day which kind of suggested that he was keen to stay, really, where he said that no doubt that staying together led us to success, i.e. winning the Europa League. We must continue. This is the path. Sounds to me like he's interested in staying on that front, even though earlier this season it felt like he was agitating for a move specifically to Spain. There's obviously been interest from Atletico Madrid. He's been quite critical of the ownership over whether it be a perceived lack of spending compared to the Spurs' rivals, Chelsea and Man City, or the plane incident with paying for private jets coming back from international duty, where he reposted a critical post on that one, which is almost an interesting point in itself, because the ownership surely will be aware of those critical points And if you have a player who's kind of being critical of the ownership, do they let it slide, basically, because he's such an important player? That I wonder if that will come into it at all this summer. But I remember a few weeks ago months ago when he did that interview where he basically massively hinted that he'd fancy a move, definitely move to at some point to La Liga and potentially this summer, that I thought he wasn't good enough to hold against his will, effectively. That's really what happened. I feel like there are hardly any players that are in that situation. I can only think of like Ronaldo when he was at Man United and they kept him for one more year before they're finally allowing him to go to Real Madrid. And if Spurs got an offer around 50, 60 million or whatever they deemed, you know, enough, then particularly with his injury record this season, it was worth selling him. Obviously, since then, he's become like the talisman of this Europa League triumph and shown what an absolute winner he is, and why, you know, it would make sense to keep him. I don't know whether that valuation has now gone up as a result. I wouldn't be surprised if it had. I still think a little bit that, you know, over the course of time, I would still be in mind that if they got an offer they couldn't turn down, they or felt like was acceptable, right at the point, that maybe they should still cash in.
But this is the funny thing, Tom. This is the strange thing that how, you know, these two or three games, obviously really important games, have changed everything, because I think we were all of a mind that Romero was ready to go. He was injury prone. He wasn't happy. People were saying he wasn't playing very well. And suddenly, because of three or four games that, of course, did change the whole season, everybody's changed their minds without, I think, looking at the long-term picture. The problem with sport is that we react so quickly to a couple of moments, really, rather than seeing the bigger picture.
Right, I'm aware I'm being a hypocrite on Romero compared to Postecoglou, because basically the argument I'm laying for Romero of is more like your one about Postecoglou: take the bigger picture and make a more rational decision. But I suppose I'm talking about, you know, Spurs receiving a massive transfer fee that they could reinvest into the squad rather than throwing away, having to pay off another manager and then go and get another one would be the slight argument. But I do see how there's a bit of a hypocrisy there. I mean, I did an interview yesterday with Ramon Vega, who's obviously quite vocal about Tottenham on a regular basis. Obviously, he won the League Cup back in 1999. And one of the points he was making about Romero, obviously a fellow, you know, former centre-back, he thinks he's top notch was the phrase, and he definitely should be kept. But he thinks keeping Ange could well be the key to keeping Romero. He seems to think that their relationship is heavily entwined. Romero has kind of hinted at that before. He's been a big fan of Ange. Ange has never criticised him. So I do wonder if Levy does make a decision and gets rid of Postecoglou, whether that would have a knock-on effect to Romero wanting to stay or not. Just one other point about, just back to your whole speech about, point you were making about whether, you know, seeing the bigger picture about Postecoglou. How many Marcus Bucklands do you think are out there in that regard? Because Daniel Levy is obviously, we know he's not particularly popular, saying it kindly, amongst the Spurs fan base. This feels like, at least the other day when watching the scenes at the parade, would really, you know, amplify that unpopularity, that's a word, to put it mildly, if that reaction from that fan base is anything to go on. But you've just laid the case of why you think it's the right thing. Do you think you're in the minority, a small minority, or actually there's a silent, if not majority, a big proportion that still think that way?
I mean, that's a really good question, Tom, and I'd love to know the definitive answer to it. Social media is very misleading. You tend to get the angry fans on criticizing. So if you just went on what you read on X, certainly leading up to the European final, then you'd feel that almost everybody wanted Ange out, and that's clearly not the case. I don't know is the answer to that, and I go back to people are going with their heads and their hearts and all the rest of it, and it could look really bad if you sack a manager who's brought you your first bit of silverware for 17 years, and I do get all that, But you know what? At the end of the day, I don't care if I'm in the minority. It's the way I feel. I love this club. I want this club to develop. I don't want it to do what Manchester United did last season and decide to stick with Ten Hag because they beat Manchester City in an FA Cup final and then had to sack him a few months later. And then you're bringing in somebody who's in the middle of a season, who hasn't got the players he wanted. I just think at times you've got to be quite cruel. You've got to make those tough decisions. And goodness me, Daniel Levy's done that enough in the past. So I don't think he should be afraid of doing what he thinks is right. He always does. He doesn't care what the fans think. And I would respect him on this occasion if he made that decision.
Any other business before we wrap up? I think we've got a pretty clear view of what Marcus thinks about Postecoglou, and he's doubling down. What gossip you got from Mickey van der Ven's mum? More importantly.
Well, that was more...
Yeah, be remiss of us as journalists not to ask, to follow up on that one.
He said that he absolutely loves it at the club. He loves everything about Tottenham Hotspur, at which point I said, could he sign a new 10-year contract? And she said, no. So you can read into that what you want. Pedro Porro's brother, if it was indeed Pedro Porro's brother, was... Because I now read reports that Porro might be going back to Manchester City or whatever. But, I mean, Porro can at times infuriate you defensively, but that passion that he shows on the pitch, I loved him. I mean, we're going to talk, aren't we, at a later stage about changes in the squad, whether we need a new goalkeeper, this, that and the other. But you're just going to get that sense of happiness and calm that was so wonderful in Bilbao that night. And I do want to say again that, you know, by the way, Keith Birkinshaw left the day after Spurs won their last European trophy. That was already decided beforehand, but it wouldn't be the first time that Spurs have said goodbye to a manager the day or the week or the month after winning a European Cup. You do move on from that, and Tottenham very nearly won the league the following season. So don't be afraid of change. If you can improve, if you go onto the continent in the past, okay, clubs that are used to being successful, Real Madrid, Barcelona, etc., if they win the league but don't win the Champions League, they often think nothing of sacking the manager. So you've got to be brave. You've constantly got to look to develop and be ambitious. And when you look at our league record under Postecoglou since the first 10 games of last season, it's simply not good enough. Let's look at that big picture. Let Ange go now when people still love him, rather than risk having a terrible start to next season. And we see exactly what happened at Manchester United. He goes in November. His reputation's been tarnished. I'm intrigued, by the way, with regards to Romero, because one of the things that struck me about some of our key players is how exposed they looked under the Postecoglou system when we were playing Ange ball. You know, Basuma's a classic example, by the way. It's no coincidence that he looks a much better player playing in Europe when we were being that much more defensive. Likewise, Romero. But at times when we were going gung-ho, you know, Romero and van der Ven were getting exposed, and certainly Romero in particular didn't look such a good player. So I'm a little bit surprised, actually, that we're saying he's so caught up in Postecoglou's future. But to go back, I just want make a decision, and then for God's sake, Levy, go out and spend some money and spend it on the experience, not on promising players from the Championship.
Fair enough. And on that note, Marcus, I'm going to let you wrap it all up.
Well, can I just say one quick thing, Dan, because... we all move on. Postecoglou might or he might not. I know that you're leaving the Evening Standard. So all the years I've said we're joined by Dan Kilpatrick from the Standard, along with Tom Barkley of the Sun and Tom Allnut of the Times. It'll now be Dan Kilpatrick of the Athletic. So we want to congratulate you on that front and wish you well. What will your new role entail?
Yeah, thanks, Marcus. So I am not taking on a reporting role, and I won't be focused on solely on Spurs. I'm not specialising on Spurs. I'm taking a news editor role. So it is the kind of end of an era for me, really. Done more or less every Spurs game, home, away, abroad, with the exception of a handful per season, really, for over 10 years. And that came to an end on Sunday. That was my last match, my last day at the Standard. So I followed from Postecoglou's press conference, and that was over and out for me. So yeah, I've got a couple of weeks off now, then I'm starting at the Athletic. I will be kind of on the desk, as we call it in the industry, kind of on the phone to people like Tom A and Tom B, rather than actually being the one kind of asking the manager questions and writing the articles, which many would say is a good thing. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to a new challenge. I've absolutely loved covering Spurs as a reporter, and there's, you know, I've got mixed feelings about stepping away from it. Doesn't mean I won't come back to it at some point in the future. That could happen. but it's time for a change for me for kind of various reasons. So I'm hoping I kind of can remain a bit of a voice on Spurs. I'll still be a Spurs fan. And actually, I'm looking forward. Yeah, I've got to say, I'm looking forward to going back to being a fan, you know, hopefully a sort of well-informed fan, but, you know, someone who I'm going to tap you up for a season ticket, Marcus, or, you know, see. I'm looking forward to go. I've never been to the stadium as a fan. I've probably been 100 times in the press box since it opened. But, you know, I'm looking forward to kind of that side of my life, really, sort of returning again and going to the pub for a 12:30 kickoff rather than, being at the stadium every week.
Oh, yeah, you could definitely come and sit next to me and moan your way through the game I do.
Game with you, actually, to be honest. Is there one near you, but not directly next to you?
That's probably a very, very sensible thing to do. I'm so sorry about this wretched door. I mean, everyone's...
Right. We'll try and edit it out. I'll painstakingly go through it. There's too many.
It's far too many. Well, listen, Dan, best of luck with the future. And Tom, I'll turn my mic off. You can say goodbye, because otherwise I can see three more people heading towards this little bar area that was so quiet for the last couple of hours. But because I think Carlos Alcaraz's match finished a short time ago, they're all coming in for a sandwich and maybe the odd beer. But there we are. Let's just hope Spurs get it right. Levy gets it right in the summer. It's a massive couple of months coming up for the club now.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Marcus. And thanks, Dan, in particular. Well done on an amazing innings covering Spurs on the front line, so to speak. And thank you to everyone for listening, really. I don't know if this is like an end of season. I'm sure we'll probably do one in a few days' time. I've got a bit of a holiday as well. So I don't really know. The Tottenham podcast just goes on and on and on. Football never ends, really, these days. But if it is effectively the end of season, it seems to be fitting with Dan leaving his day job. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll speak to you next time.
Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant. They aren't affected by tariffs because their clothing products never left the U.S. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.